And we want to take a look at these verses and see what the scriptures reveal to us today. But let me begin. Before I begin, let me start with a word of prayer. Father, we just pray that your spirit would just fall fresh on this congregation today, Lord. Praying that they would see you and not me, Lord. That they would hear the message that you would have them to hear, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would just bless each and every person, Lord. Encourage somebody's heart, Lord. Heal somebody today, Lord. Deliver somebody today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we have a story where Jesus healed a woman that had been bound and bent over. And the title of today's sermon, you may be seated. The title of today's sermon is Man versus Tradition. Man versus Tradition. And starting at verse 1, it says, Jesus taught in the synagogue on the Sabbath. The woman was a worshiper of God. She was a worshiper. She had a curvature of her spine. She was seen and called by Jesus. She received Jesus' word and touch. She glorified God first. Then there's another individual in this story, the ruler, the head of the synagogue. He was also a worshiper. He became angry with the people. He corrupted God's word. He rejected Christ. He was hypocritical. He placed animals above people. He placed religion above people. Jesus humiliated his opponents, and the crowds rejoice. Which is more important? And it says, verse 10, it says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, the Lord answered him and said, Thou hypocrite, doth not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. People versus tradition, which is more important? One of the greatest tragedy of tradition is that it's often placed before man and his needs. Jesus met this problem head on. This was probably the last time that Jesus ever entered into the synagogue, as far as we know. Jesus taught in the synagogue on the Sabbath. This woman was a worshiper of God. The ruler was also a worshiper of God. Jesus taught in the synagogue on the Sabbath. Three significant facts need to be seen in this point. This was the last time, as far as we know, this was Jesus was ever in the synagogue. From this point on, he was such a controversial figure that no synagogue would allow him in the pulpit. His healing miracle took place on the Sabbath, and healing was not allowed on the Sabbath. It was considered work, unless it was a matter of life and death. The fact that Jesus broke the Sabbath law was what caused the present dispute. The woman and the ruler were both worshipers of God. Jesus was worshiping on the Sabbath, doing exactly what he should have been doing. There was a difference between worshipers. This is seen in the woman and the man. She sought to draw near to the Lord for deliverance, whereas the man only practiced his ceremony and rituals. Jesus had compassion on the woman, the worshiper. Five things about her. She was worshiping. It was her habit to worship, to seek the face of God and looking after her life. Therefore, she was where she was supposed to be on this particular Sabbath, in worship. And because she was there, she was to receive a very special touch from God. She did not know it yet, but she was. Why? Because she was sincere in seeking God and his care. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's 1 Chronicles 16:29. Even before the Lord had delivered her, this woman worshiped God in her infirmity. You know, sometimes it might not seem like things are ever going to get any better, but we must believe and trust God anyhow. So I went to see Andre Crouch in what was probably his last concert. It was a church called Higher Vision in Santa Clarita, Newhall area. And he was singing, he was talking about his songs that he had wrote and how he had all of his great songs that flows from the blood gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. And he told us how he had wrote that song, and he sang his song, Amen. Let the church say amen. And despite the fact that he was suffering and battling with cancer, he was doing this concert, and he said that his doctors had told him there was nothing else they could do. And he said, but I'm going to praise him anyhow. And then he hit a couple of notes on the piano, and he said, wait a minute, that could be a song. That sounds like a song, you know. And I really believe that if he had lived, that he would have, that would have been his next song. But I will never forget when he was suffering with cancer and when he was going through what he's going through, he said, I'm going to praise him anyhow. The woman was a worshiper. She didn't wait until after she got healed to start worshiping God. She didn't wait until after she got healed to start praising God. But she praised him in her condition that she was in. And she wasn't just in that condition for a couple of days, a couple of years. But it's, the Bible says that she was in that condition for 18 years. Sometimes we have to wait on God for a breakthrough. While other times it's instantaneous. Then Jesus said unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Matthew 4:10. Sometimes we have to speak to our pain and sickness and problems and say, get thee hence, Satan, in the name of Jesus. It always seems like when we are about God's business, Satan will attack us and discourage us and blind us. She had a curvature in her spine. This sounds like some form of arthritis where the joints of the spine fuse together. Luke, the physician, gives us a medical description of his day for the disease. She had been deformed for 18 years. Two facts need to be noted. She had been afflicted with a spirit of infirmity. Jesus said the spirit was an evil spirit of infirmity. She was a daughter whom Satan had bound. She had been bound for some time. Sometimes we have to deal with circumstances beyond our control that are brought on us by life and can't do any better. All we can do is to wait on the Lord for our deliverance. Thus, the woman needs spiritual healing as well as physical healing. This is the part I think that we get wrong sometimes. Some of us believe in all spiritual healing, while others neglecting the spiritual for the physical, believing that it's all physical, that we only need a physical. Jesus addressed both her spiritual and her physical. She was in worship despite her deformity, and note her deformity was severe. She was bent over and unable to rise up. The pain was sometimes severe, yet her habit was to attend worship and to seek the favor and the help of God upon her life. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Son of God. Come as you are. I hear that term all the time. Come as you are. I believe this is what that term means. Come with your infirmity. Come in whatever condition you are. Come as you are. She was seen and called by Jesus. The woman's faithfulness in worship of God, despite deformity and pain, attracted Jesus. He knew both her condition and all its pain and inconvenience and great sacrifice she made to worship God. Do you know anybody like that? So sometimes I try to help out with the food program around here. And I see these women that in our church that despite their own pain and what they're going through, they sacrifice and they come here Saturday, third Saturday, but also on Friday. God sees you. The Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. She did not have to call him. Jesus called her to him. Jesus was moved with compassion toward her. How many here know today that nobody knows the pain that you are going through? Nobody knows the struggles, but God knows. He has compassion on us. Psalms 103:17 said, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto his children's children. Isaiah 63:9 says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them, and he carried them all the days of old. You know, that's a wonderful thing to know, that God is in our afflictions with us. It said that in their affliction, he was afflicted. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. I'm so glad that the Lord showed his compassion on me. She received Jesus' word and touch. This is crucial. Jesus had called her to come to him. She had to respond to his call. He could not come to her. She had to take the step of coming herself. When she obeyed Jesus, spoke the word, the good news to her, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Keep in mind that her problem has been both spiritual and physical. Jesus reached out and touched her, and she was made straight, and she stood upright. Experienced both the power of Jesus' word and touch. She came when Jesus called her. She was able to hear Jesus call because she was worshiping God, seeking his grace and care. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. The Lord alone can heal those who are bowed down. Psalms 146:8 says, the Lord opened the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Don't miss this. She glorified God first. Immediately, the ruler, he was also a worshiper. Not only was he a worshiper, but he was head of the synagogue. But he was a different kind of worshiper than the deformed woman. Whereas a woman sought God through her need and dependence from a ritual ceremony and rules. There is a vast difference between the two approaches. The one thing God teaches is that man has to approach him as a child, dependent and needy. I have had to unlearn everything I knew prior to being saved. Four faults of the ruler. He got angry with the people that was his neighbors, the people that he worshiped with and sat next to whenever he worshiped. He allowed his temper to get out of control. The people were merely seeking help because they were in a desperate need, especially the woman, and he knew it. However, because he was different with them, he flared up against them. The ruler misunderstood and corrupted God's law. Sabbath. And Jesus had committed, in his mind, Jesus had committed a serious crime. He refused to acknowledge the Messiah, God's son, who actually stood right before him. So many Pharisees and teachers of the law and rulers spoke to Jesus and didn't even know who he was. You know, knowing scriptures alone is not enough. Jesus asked Peter, whom do men say that I am? And he told him, Elias, one of the prophets. And he said, whom do you say that I am? And he said, you're a son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but the Holy Spirit revealed that to you. And so people quoting the law and the rules and what the Bible says is not sufficient without the Spirit guidance and enlightenment to understand what God is communicating. So Jesus stood right before him, and he didn't know who he was, even though he knew all of these scriptures, even though he can quote Leviticus 23:3. He refused to acknowledge Messiah, son, God's son, who actually stood right before him. Not everyone, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He was a hypocritical. He placed both animals and man-made religious rules above people. He allowed tradition and ritual ceremonies and rules to become more important than meeting the basic needs of human life. The need for God and the need for spiritual, physical, and mental health all were to take a back seat to religious form. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 8, "But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Ye will not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day." Imagine that. Jesus was charged with breaking the Sabbath, and he was Lord of the Sabbath day. Luke 6 and 46 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Romans 13 and 10, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." And James 1, 20, "Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and keep himself unspotted from the world." Hosea, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." The Sabbath law, a person could not travel, fast, cook, buy, sell, draw water, walk beyond a certain distance, lift anything, fight a war, or heal on the Sabbath. You know, religion is not a bad thing in itself. In fact, true religion is a good thing. The problem here is that man had corrupted religion. Revelations 22:18-19 says, "Man corrupts religion by taking away from the part that he don't like, whereas the Pharisees and the Sadducees were especially guilty of adding to God's word." Well, Revelations 22:18 is where it says, "Do not take anything away from the word, or I would add plagues, and do not add anything to the word, or I would add plagues." And so Jesus was not actually guilty of breaking the Sabbath law. He was guilty of breaking the rules that was added to the Sabbath law. The rules were you can't buy, sell, walk, draw water, walk beyond a certain distance, lift anything, fight in a war, or heal on the Sabbath. And especially that part where it says, "or heal on the Sabbath." And I think one of the things that we really need to do when we talk about the law, we should read it. I mean, that would be a good thing, right? To know what it actually says. And Leviticus 23:3 reads thus, and this is the giving of the law. "6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest. On holy convocation ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings." Now, it does not specify what it says, what is work. It says you shall do no work, but it doesn't say that you cannot heal on the Sabbath in Leviticus 23:3. And that's the law that God gave. But what's happening here in this confrontation with Jesus and man is they're quoting their rules that they've added to the Sabbath law. "Jesus called me out of the darkness into the marvelous light. I was once blind, but now I see." Mark 2:27 said, "And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." And I think that's where people get this wrong. And we're not a we're not a believer of Seventh Day Adventist, or we're not some of the church that practice observing the Sabbath, but they practice in the same way that this ruler is practicing. They practice it. They don't work on Saturday, and they will condemn you for doing anything on that day. But I just want to say that Jesus set the record straight. This is not the first time that Jesus encountered the Pharisees or healed anybody on the Sabbath. He healed a man with a withered hand and healing on the Sabbath. And so we know that that wasn't the only time, but Jesus deliberately confronted them on the Sabbath because he was confronting them on man-made rules and man-made rituals as opposed to serving God. We can't save ourselves. We can't be good enough. We can't pay enough money. Salvation does not come from works, but it comes from God and from God alone. And I think Jesus makes this point very clearly. I think this is a point that we have to conclude from this message, or from this text of Scripture, that it's not by works, it's not by man, but it's of God. And so it's ironic that somebody would get angry because somebody got healed. You would think that he would be shouting for joy to see this miracle, to be blessed. In the same way, we pray to God for healing through our sickness, but let us use this woman as an example that if it don't come right away, it don't mean that God is not listening. It don't mean that God is not there. You know, sometimes we go through things that's very difficult, but we have to trust God in all that we do. We have to believe God. He might not come when you want him, but I've been told that he's always on time. The Bible said that he was in the market square and he was confronted by some Pharisees and they sought to kill him, but he disappeared into the crowd because his time had not yet come. And it wasn't until it was his time and it was his divine time that he would be captured and taken away from judgment hall to judgment hall. He was drugged. They tried to charge him with a crime, but they could not come up with a crime that would stick. And so they took him to Pilate, and Pilate examined him. And he came back and said, "With this man I find no fault." He sought to release him, but his wife had warned him that he would be guilty of the blood of an innocent man. But they cried out that he would, if he released him, that he would be releasing a traitor, someone that claimed to be a king, and that was a threat to Caesar. And so, being threatened, Pilate had him flogged. He had him beaten, thinking that they would have mercy on him. And then he offered this man to him, saying, "It's a day of release. And I have Barabbas and I have Jesus. And which one would you have me release?" And they cried out for Barabbas, a murderer. They cried for Barabbas, a thief. They cried for Barabbas. And so Pilate asked, "What should I do with this man, Jesus?" And they said, "Crucify him." And so Jesus carried his own cross to a hill called Golgotha. where they nailed him in his hands and they nailed him in his feet. And they hung him between two thieves. And they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And he stayed there for 3 days, but rose again on the third day. And we know that because he rose again, that we have a hope that the world don't have. That we have a power in our lives that the world don't have. We have the power to forgive those that are unforgivable. The power to love those that are unlovable. We have the power to overcome our tragedies and the things, the difficult times that we come through, that we go through. Because we know that he endured death, even the death of the cross, so that we might be saved. Amen. Amen.